I have a word this morning from the Bible, from the Lord, for you. And that is to continue in the gospel that you have heard. To keep going. It is human nature to forget what we've learned and how much the Lord has done in our lives. We tend to get wrapped up in whatever momentary affliction is plaguing us. So I suggest to you that in this text, we will learn to look back to where we have been and to look ahead to what we can expect in this world until we get to heaven, and to look to the present to what we need to get through, which is all in the Bible, in the Word of God. So we begin with the past, Timothy's past and Paul's past. And what do we learn? We learn to live godly in Christ Jesus, and we will be persecuted. Paul, in verse 10, speaks to Timothy in obvious contrast to the men of depraved mind that he has been talking about in verses 1 through 9. He says to Timothy, in contrast to those depraved men of depraved mind, who are teachers and leaders of worldly and corrupt character, who pretend to teach the truth, who pretend to learn and love people, but in fact they are hypocrites who are promoting themselves and loving themselves. In contrast to those people, he writes this to Timothy, "Now you followed my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord rescued me." Paul is looking back into his past and Timothy's past and saying, you, Timothy, you're not like these false teachers. You're the real deal, a true godly leader. Why? Is it because Timothy is a great speaker? No. Is it because he's talented, entertaining, and charismatic? No, it's not. It is his character that we see here described. Godly character is what sets Timothy apart. In verses 2 through 5, we read 20 descriptions of false teachers, ungodly leaders, bad character. Here, Paul describes Timothy and his character in 9 words. 9 character qualities that he has learned from Paul. These are qualities that should describe all of this, but especially those who lead and teach. Brothers and sisters, these are the qualities of a good leader, a godly leader, someone you can learn from. This is what a good Christian leader looks like. This is what a good pastor looks like. Brooklyn Church, I'm 58 years old. Last night we had a youth gathering out at the Johnson's house, and somehow I got involved in a game of tackle football in the snow. I'm feeling it this morning. Within 10 years, I'll probably retire from paid ministry, maybe sooner. I'm not looking forward to it, but time does not stand still. This is how it goes, and then you'll be looking for another pastor. Find a guy like this, like Paul describes Timothy. I want to look at each of these 9 words. First, he says about Timothy, "You followed my teaching." Good leaders learn and grow, and they learn and grow from people. Timothy had a mentor in Paul who could tell Timothy what Timothy needed to learn and direct him and guide him. Are you learning and growing from the teaching of others, from the Scriptures? We live in a society where it seems like people are reluctant to say, "You've taught me something. Thank you so much for leading me." This book is supposed to shape our lives and change us, which means we need to be changed. This is our pattern, Timothy's pattern, to learn from the Scriptures and from others. And Paul says, "You followed my conduct." This is what we do, how we live in public and in private. It is how you speak, who you listen to, and what you listen to, and what you watch, and how you work, and how you give and how you use your time. It involves how you handle temptation and sin. Do you confess your sin and repent and forgive others? How do you conduct yourself in this messed up world? Are you different? Young people, listen. It's easy to want to be like other people, but God calls us to be different from almost everyone else around us. That's not easy. Our conduct matters. And our purpose, the third word here is purpose. Timothy followed Paul's purpose. And what was Paul's purpose? And now is Timothy's purpose? Well, it is no mystery. Paul is always telling people that his purpose in life is the ministry of the gospel for the glory of God. Everything that they did, Paul and Timothy, was to this end, whether they were traveling or preaching or making tents. The gospel for the glory of God. Paul's goal was not to amass a personal fortune. It was not to retire in style. It was not to be famous or popular. It was the gospel. That is our purpose. And faith, Paul describes Timothy in verse 10. The godly man trusts God. He turns away from anxiety to see God as bigger than his problems. The godly man chooses not to worry. The godly woman chooses not to worry, doesn't complain. He or she doesn't let the discouragements get him. He doesn't quit. He knows that God is in control of all things, big and small. He holds me in his hands and he holds you in his hands. That's why Paul says in Romans 8:28 that all things, God uses all things for the good of those who love him and trust him. The man of faith lives in Romans 8:28. And patience, Paul describes Timothy as following his patience. What patience? I like some translations here read long suffering. This is part of what makes love love. If you are a pastor or a leader or a teacher or a parent, you need patience. Patience is important because people are important and people often do not do what you want them to do. This is a fact. Have you experienced this with children, family, with people in church? Maybe people that you work with. What helps me be patient with people is this. I know that God is always working in the lives of those who love him. So when someone in this church does something that I think, oh my goodness, why in the world did you do that? I also know God is at work. God is going to use it. If you will turn to him and trust him, he will use this in your life in some way. I just need to wait for God to do it. And love, Paul writes about Timothy, according to the Bible, love means simply considering others more important than yourselves, serving others, blessing others, giving to others. Love means mastering the art of being a good friend to others and not insisting that they be a good friend back to you. Love means remembering that every person is precious to God. And if that person is precious to God, then they better be precious to me. And perseverance, he writes about Timothy. Perseverance means pushing through difficult times and learning the lessons that God has for you in them. Perseverance means getting after it at the beginning of things and hanging in there in the middle of things and finishing well at the end of things. And Paul writes about persecutions. Now, you might not think that suffering through persecutions, as Paul did, is a character quality, but I think it is. Persecution is when others intentionally make life difficult for you, in particular when you are trying to follow Jesus. We are persecuted sometimes when we will not do what people want us to do because we want to obey Jesus. And we're persecuted sometimes when we share the gospel in an environment where people don't want to hear it. And sometimes persecution comes just because people think they know what we believe. In verse 12 here, we read that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And in fact, Jesus says to his disciples in John 15, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Persecution can get hot. dangerous, violent, even life-threatening. And Paul talks here about sufferings. That Timothy, you followed me in my sufferings. This is the general word for difficult times related to financial stress or sickness or calamity or accidents. Persecution is one of the sufferings, but sufferings is much broader, more broad than that. Every person goes through suffering. You know the beautiful thing? When you're a Christian, your sufferings, and everybody has sufferings, your sufferings get transformed by the Lord into blessings. Those who don't believe in Jesus Christ, those who are not following Jesus Christ, they don't have this. Sufferings are just hard. But if you're following Jesus, if you know the Lord, He uses your sufferings for your good. And what particular sufferings and persecutions is Paul referring to? Well, we find them during this time period that he's talking about when he was with Timothy in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. We find this in Acts chapters 13 and 14. When people slandered Paul, they drove him out of their cities. The Jewish leaders made Gentile people in the area bitter against Paul by lying about him and spreading false rumors. They tried to catch Paul once and stone him to death, but he escaped and he kept preaching. You and I don't have control of our persecutions or our sufferings, but we can live godly lives in Christ Jesus as we go through them. All this while the evil people, the false teachers and ungodly leaders, will continue doing their thing. They will go on deceiving and being deceived. Now, Paul is thinking about Timothy's past and what has happened in the past. And as he looks to the future, he's predicting, verse 13, evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse. They're going to go on deceiving and being deceived. And look, as he said in verse 12, everyone who follows Christ, who lives godly in Christ Jesus, will be persecuted. This is what's in store for you, Timothy. Get ready for it. But God wants to use you in it. We turn our attention now to the present in the next four verses. What should be our focus in the present? In light of the past and how God has worked. In light of the future where we know hard times are coming and God wants us to live godly in Christ Jesus, what do we do? And Paul urges Timothy to continue in the Scriptures that come from God. Verses 14 and 15, you, however, in contrast to these evil men and imposters deceiving and being deceived, you, however, Timothy, all of you here, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Paul tells Timothy to continue in what he has learned and believed. And from whom did Timothy learn these things? Well, we know from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, he learned them from his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. I want to say a word just to you very young people who are here today, this morning. Your parents are an amazing resource in your life. And you only have them as a resource in your life every day for maybe 16 or 18 years. And then they kick you out of the house. Well, maybe they won't. But you'll move on one way or another, and you won't have their parents there every day anymore. So in these days where your parents are there for you to ask questions, for you to read with, for you to talk about the Bible with, make use of them. Learn from them, as Timothy did in his childhood, from when he was very young. And when you're young is the best time to begin learning. Kids, do you know that you're smarter than your parents? It's true. Now, you don't know as much as they do, so you can make really bad decisions just because you don't know stuff. But you can learn faster than your parents can because your minds are all active and ready to, they're like a sponge soaking up information. So you can learn, so learn. And what is to be learned? Well, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what Timothy learned when he was young from his mother and from his grandmother. The text helps us understand this even more clearly. Look at verse 15. From childhood you have known the sacred writings. What would these sacred writings be that Timothy had learned from his childhood? You might say the Bible, and you would be right. But what part of the Bible? Paul is talking about the Old Testament. Obviously, because there was no New Testament there. It was the Old Testament that he had learned from his mother and his grandmother from when he was very young. Schooled in the Old Testament scriptures, Timothy learned about God. And not just about God. What does the text say that the Old Testament scriptures will do for us? And now this is truly remarkable, because I have actually heard Christian teachers say that the Old Testament is not very important. Some pastors will never preach from the Old Testament. You know that both Paul and Peter preached from the Old Testament. What does Paul tell us about the Old Testament, and why is it worth continuing and growing in learning it? It is because the Old Testament scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And you might say, well, how does that work? Because Jesus Christ isn't mentioned in the Old Testament. Ah, but he is. He's not called by the name Jesus Christ. He's called Messiah. He's called the prophet who will come. He's called the king who is coming. The whole Old Testament prepares us to understand who Jesus is. The Old Testament will make you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. 3/4 of your Bible is Old Testament. And if you read it right, it will give you wisdom leading to Jesus. After all, Jesus read it this way. After his resurrection, he spoke with 2 disciples on the road to Emmaus. We find these words at the end of the book of Luke, Luke 24. I'll just read a little bit of this conversation that Jesus had with his 2 disciples. They hadn't recognized him yet. They were puzzling over these things that had happened, that Jesus Christ had died on the cross and that his tomb was empty. And they're trying to figure out all these things. And he says to them in Luke 24, verse 25, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, Jesus explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Isn't it amazing that this is the way that Jesus read his Old Testament? He read it as if it's all talking about me. All that Moses says and all the prophets says are preparing you to understand who I am. Or later on in this same chapter, Luke 24, he's meeting with his disciples by the sea and having lunch for them, and he says to them in Luke 24, 44, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things that are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. When the Jewish person talked about Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, he's talking about the whole Old Testament. And Jesus is saying, all of this talks about me. He said to them, thus it is written that Christ would suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. This is how Jesus read his Old Testament. This is how Paul and Timothy read the Old Testament. The Old Testament scriptures are important for you for wisdom leading to salvation. And Paul wants Timothy to grow in his understanding, to continue to invest in knowing these things that he has learned and become convinced of. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, Paul explains to Timothy that you, Timothy, are supposed to be growing, and your growth in these things should be evident to all. About 7 years ago, I received what I consider the best compliment I've ever had in my preaching ministry. One of the ladies in this church came up to me after the message, and she said, Pastor, I really think you're getting better. Now, you can take that a number of ways, but I was so encouraged, because I don't care about being the best. I just want to be growing and getting better in my ability to communicate the truths of God. Why? It's because this book is the Word of God. This book is the breath of God to you. Look at what Paul writes to Timothy next in verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. This is the rationale for Paul's command to Timothy in verse 14, to continue in these things you have learned. Why? It's because these things, this Scripture, is God-breathed. God-breathed. Some of your translations read inspired, but that's what the word means. Inspired by God means God-breathed. Do you know that the words in this book that you hold in your hand are from God to you? That's amazing. That we get to have God's words spoken to us. Do you know what that means? That means that the God whose words made the universe has given you His words that you can pick up and read anytime you want to. The Word of God was made flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, and we have His words right here, words of life and truth. As Peter said in John chapter 6, when Jesus asked him, Peter, do you want to leave too? All these other people, they're going away because they don't want to hear what I have to say anymore because it's too weird and too hard for them to hear. And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Right here in your hands, you have the words of eternal life. And now we're talking about both the Old Testament and the New Testament, because at the beginning of the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says this stuff that the prophets talked about, all this, in all these Old Testament scriptures, now we have these words made real right here among us through Jesus. But you might say, and people do, you might say, Pastor, isn't it true that human beings wrote the Bible, not Jesus? My brother says that to me all the time, as if that proves that somehow God didn't write the Bible, that people wrote it. Well, then you misunderstand what the words God-breathed mean. It means different things in different genre in the Bible, different parts of the Bible. Sometimes the Bible is a record of what God told someone to write. So He told Moses to write things, and He tells the prophets to write things. Sometimes God just speaks and says, write this down and speak this. And sometimes the Bible is a history of the people of God, written by men who understood God's point of view. Sometimes the Holy Spirit works that way. Sometimes the Bible is poetry written by people who loved God and were moved by the Holy Spirit, creatively writing thoughts that come from the mind of God through their minds. Sometimes the Bible is a presentation of the life, teaching, suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, like in the Gospels, from someone who followed Jesus and learned from Him. And sometimes the Bible consists of letters written by a Spirit-filled man to help us understand life in Jesus. And sometimes the Bible is a presentation of visions that God gives His people and tells them to write them down so that others can be blessed by those visions as well. But it's all spoken from God in different ways, written by different people. That's what God-breathed means. But what do the God-breathed scriptures do? And here we have, in verse 16, four words that work together to give us a complete picture of the prophet that is found in God's words. Why should you be in the Word of God every day? Why should you continue in these things, learning from the Scriptures that are the God-breathed Word of God? And here, in order to help you understand the combined meaning of these four words, I would like to conduct a demonstration. My apologies to those who are watching online. I'm likely to wander out of your screen. But if you imagine your life as starting from wherever you are now and going all the way to the end of life, so I will imagine my life, the path that God has laid out for me, as a path that goes from here to the back of the church where I will die. Okay? So this is my life. I'm headed this way in life. And the Word of God teaches me. So that's the first of these four words. The Word of God is profitable for teaching. It tells me what I need to do in order to get where I need to go. But there's a second word. Because I don't always go the way I'm supposed to. So I wander off. And I end up somewhere I'm not supposed to be, like in someone else's pew. Maybe too close to a woman who's not my wife. Or maybe I'm hurting someone that I don't want to hurt if I knew better. Okay? I'm doing things I shouldn't do. What does the word do? What does the Bible do for me? This is now that we get to the second word, which is rebuking. The Bible tells me, you're not where you're supposed to be. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And there I am reading the Bible, and I realize, I'm in the wrong place. This is why life is such a mess for me, because I'm doing the wrong thing. And then there's another word. What's the next word? Correction. What does correction mean? Well, correction tells me how to get from where I am back on the right path. That's what the Bible does for me. I'm not going to stay here, although Tavin's a great guy. The Bible tells me how to get back, how to confess my sin and get right with God and get back on the right path. And then what's the fourth word? Training in righteousness. That means the Bible helps me to stay on the path and not get off again in some weird direction. This is what the Scriptures do for me. As I'm on this path in life, headed for glory, the Bible teaches me the right way to go. It tells me when I've gotten off in the wrong place. It shows me how to get back on the right path, and it trains me how I can get all the way home. That's what the Scriptures do for me. This is what the God-breathed Scriptures do. And why do they do it? What is the purpose that they do it? So that the man of God would be competent, equipped for every good work. Because in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Lord tells us that God has marked out for us good works for us to do them. The path that God has made for your life, He has good works in mind for you. God has lots of things that He wants to be doing in your life and through you and the lives of others that will bless people, that will glorify God. But if God's going to use you in those ways, if He's going to do those works in your life, you have to stay faithful to Him. You can't get off the path somewhere else. Then God can't use you. He can't glorify Himself through you. And you don't want to get to the end of your life, sitting there in the hospital on your deathbed, talking to your friends and family and maybe the pastor who stops by and say to people, boy, I just wish I'd followed Jesus. I wish I hadn't done all that stuff that just wasted all kinds of... I wish I hadn't done that. You don't want to say that. You want to say, I'm so glad that I obeyed the Lord when it was easy and when it was hard, and that I listened to His word. Ready to do every good work. We need to be ready and willing for every good thing that God has for us in our lives. So you've got to be in the Word. You've got to continue in these things that you've learned, some of you, since when you were young. And how are you going to do that? Well, coming to church is part of it. Listen to the message. You can even go online and review the notes. You can listen to it again. You can listen to other preachers and teachers. You need to do a daily devotion. Many of you are in the Bible every day. 15 minutes, half an hour. Some of you read the daily devotions that I have posted on our church website. Some of you use the daily bread. Some of you have another devotion for you and your family. But brothers and sisters, we need to have the Word of God in our lives every day. And you should be part of a Bible study with other believers that help you understand, learn, and grow, where you can talk about the Scriptures with other people. That is such a blessing. Continue in the gospel that you have learned. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we ask You that You would make us people who live according to Your word, that we would not give up, that we wouldn't quit, but that we would continue in the truth for Your glory and for our good, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.